Hello, it's Vanessa Bierschefer for Via Europa for the Solary Report, directly from France. I'd like to give you an update of about what's going on right now in the Nord Stream 1 pipeline. A couple of hours ago, there was news that there was a gas leak in the Nord Stream 1, and actually, it eventually was discovered there were two leaks on these pipelines. Let me read two news clips, one from Reuters, which is more factual, and another one from the BBC, which is way more political. You see the difference. That's why I wanted to read these two pieces to you. Stockholm, September 27th, Reuters. Sweden's maritime authority said on Tuesday it had issued a warning of two leaks on the Russian-owned Nord Stream 1 pipeline in Swedish and Danish waters shortly after a leak on the nearby Nord Stream 2 project was discovered. There are two leaks on Nord Stream 1, one Swedish economic zone and one in Danish economic zone. They are very near each other, a Swedish Maritime Administration spokesperson told Reuters. The leaks were located Nord Stream of the Danish island Bornholm, the spokesperson said. It was not immediately clear what had caused the leaks. We are keeping extra watch to make sure no ship comes too close to the site, a second SMA spokesperson said. On Monday, Danish authorities asked ships, to steer clear of a 5 nautical mile radius southeast of Bornholm after a gas leak from the defunct Nord Stream 2 pipeline drained into the Baltic Sea. So it happens that there are one leak on Nord Stream 1 and one on Nord Stream 2, or probably two leaks on Nord Stream 1 and one on Nord Stream 2. Here is the BBC press release. The EU has said leaks in two major gas pipelines from Russia to Europe were caused by sabotage, but stopped short of directly accusing Russa. So they say it's sabotage. How do they know? And it's Russia, even though they don't say it directly. The European Commission head, Ursula von der Leyen, said deliberate disruption will meet the strongest possible response. The EU has previously accused Russia of using gas supplies as a weapon against the West over its support for Ukraine. But Kremlin spokesperson Dmitry Preskov dismissed the accusations of sabotage as predictable, stupid, and absurd. The US Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, said he thought the leaks will not have a significant impact on Europe's energy resilience. Neither pipeline is transporting gas at the moment, although they both contain gas. Mr. Blinken did not directly accuse Russia, but said it will be in no one's interest if they were caused deliberately. The Danish Energy Minister, Dan Jorgensen, said the leaks were likely to last for at least a week until the gas escaping from the pipe runs out. The investigation will begin after that. So the rest of the article gives technical explanation with a map of the leaks, where the leaks are located on the pipes. They're not far from Germany. It's between Sweden, Denmark, and Germany. I'll say within the one third of the pipe starting in Germany. The pipe goes from the north of Germany to Vyborg and Ust-Luga in Russia, in the Baltic Sea. So when I heard of this news and I read these two press releases, wanted to see if there were some other incident that happened in the past. And I came across a very interesting article written by Madalina Sizu-Vicari in 2016. Alors, in this article, at the end, it says that, let me check, that Madalina Sizu-Vicari is a PhD candidate at the University of Liège. Her main research interests are the geopolitics of energy, energy security, Ukraine's and Turkey's energy cooperation with the EU, EU-Russia energy relations, and EU's external energy provenance. She holds a master's degree in international relations and a master's degree in communication and European affairs. So basically, I think she studied like I did, international relations, and she specialized in energy issue with Russia. And the article discussed the Yamal pipeline, born at the height of the Cold War, was fiercely fought by President Ronald Reagan. Nord Stream 2 is heavily contested by several Eastern and Central European countries, Ukraine, the United States, and different tone, and to a lesser extent, due to institutional constraints by the European Commission's top-level officials. Though Yamal and Nord Stream 2 affairs present several striking similarities, they might differ in their development. So basically, in 1980 and 1981, Ronald Reagan and the US opposed the construction of the Yamal pipeline in Siberia. And the Western countries, well, the European countries, the main European countries, were wanted these pipelines to be. This pipeline to be constructed because they wanted the gas supply for them. And the US strongly opposed it. Even Thatcher was embarrassed. She wanted a solution where she would not face lose face because not only did it provide gas to the European countries, but also huge contracts for European companies. Eventually, Reagan backed down. And but in this article, the very interesting part is the last one I'd said that gives out what this evaluation, what was the evaluation done by the CIA and their stance regarding the Western Europe countries and Russia relationship regarding energy. I'd really advise you to read this article through. I think it will give you a really neat idea of what's going on in Europe right now and the relationship with Russia. You will find the link below this video. I read a interesting article last weekend. I think it was last Saturday, so probably it was the issue of last Friday of the New York Times, where they described the loss of industry, the cut off from Russian gas will trigger in Germany. So basically, there's a huge array of industrial activities, companies that will have to close down and maybe will not survive the energy cutoff. They evaluate this to about 65% of the industrial activities in Germany. It's probably the same amount in France, but France is has been deindustrialized for many years now, so we're not up to the level of Germany. It's very difficult to understand how the leadership in Germany will accept to cut the country off the Russian gas supply with no real substitute. It's like killing itself. There's one analyst I've been listening to and watching his interviews. It's Mr. Husson. I will give you the link to the, unfortunately, it's in French for you, but I will nevertheless give you the link to this video where you have two specialists speaking of the German energy issue. But basically, I will sum it up like this. Angela Merkel, the former head of state of Germany decided that it will get rid of the nuclear powers, nuclear plants, to follow the ecologists' program and so get rid of the ecologist danger in the general elections. And but they had a backup plan, and the plan was to develop gas furniture and get more gas from Germany. So yes, Germany did away with nuclear source energy. They developed the alternative energy frantically, windmills everywhere, but this alternative energy cannot be a substitute for nuclear-powered energy nor for gas. And now they don't have any nuclear power anymore, or very little. They can't rely on gas supply from Russia, and the alternative source of energy is not enough to provide for the industry. So I don't know how it will develop in the following months and during winter. The France, it's a bit different because we still have the nuclear power, but it's been as lately, beginning of September, there was a big scandal because the head of EDF, the big French electric company, declared that it's because the French state, told him that the program was to close down nuclear plants. That was the reason why he didn't hire enough engineers and enough staff to develop and maintain the nuclear infrastructure. It was a huge scandal. Now it's been replaced with somebody else, or it's going to be soon replaced by somebody else. I think it was expected to retire anyway. It's not because of that he's been replaced. So basically, and who did that? It's Macron, because at that time Macron was part of the government, and then he became president, and now again he's president. And during the last election, he promised that he will open new plants, that no, the nuclear-powered energy wasn't disregarded, that it will continue to develop. So it was basically the opposite of what they have been doing for a decade now. So in France, we probably don't have enough energy to provide for all the activities and all the population. That's what is being said. I'm not sure. I'm not a specialist. I will have to check it out. But what is for sure is that the price of energy is going up the roof, and I think it will go over the roof. I even have some clients in real estate who are asking me if they can use their chimneys in the old buildings in the heart of Paris. I know step by step what you have to do to check if you can use your chimneys for having fireplace in case of real emergency. But if you don't do it, if you don't follow through these steps, it could be very dangerous. You can set the building on fire. So I tell them how to do it, but it's probably the first time in my career that people will ask me this kind of questions when they're already in the place or renting out the place. Usually they ask me this question when we're talking about a house or a place with a chimney. They just want to know if it works or not. And the problem is not so much for these people. I mean, for normal people, it's not so much that they can heat the place. It's how much it's going to cost. And I think it's a question that most people haven't really realized how big it's going to be. How this topic is going to be difficult to deal with. And so when the politicians talk about being sober with energy, it's not so much about reducing the consumption, it's how you're going to pay for the bills. Another interesting point, I think, is that I've been listening to a man called Olivier Delamarche. He's an economist. I think he gives some interviews now on Russia Today because, well, the French TV doesn't invite him anymore. He says things that are very alternative, as we say. But he's a financial analyst and advisor, and he has an office in Switzerland. And lately he said that he tried to buy up some Russian energy firm shares stakes, and it wasn't able to do so well. A big American bank could buy up and did buy up large stakes in Russian and German in Russian energy companies. So I'll let you to that. I hope you can have some time to read the article I'm advising you to read. And eventually, if I can't heat my apartment, I will just use vodka, rum, sorry, rum, French rum from the exotic island Guadeloupe and Martinique. So I will have rum, some sheep clothing. Fur is not acceptable, you know, this day you have to be environment friendly, so fur is not really the thing you should be wearing. And if it's getting too hot, I will be going in the countryside where I have a fireplace that works. Anyway, I hope you're doing fine, and let's see you next for next Via Europa series video. Bye bye. Thank you.